RNZ Pacific, hello Olgeta, I'm Moira Tuila Epitela with the news. The Cook Islands has thrown open its borders to fully vaccinated New Zealanders again, but is not expecting the same flood of tourists as last time around. The first flight has just taken off from Auckland Airport. Holiday bookings have been modest over the typically quiet summer months. Tata Krogan, who owns the Rarotongan Beach Resort, believes traveller fatigue and general uncertainty have dampened demand. The Local Tourism Industry Council reports occupancy at 30 to 40% over the next few months, but growing to near full capacity from April. And Moree Beach Cottages owner Gwen, who is on today's flight, says it has been a rough few months with no tourists. She says her first guests are on the same flight as her this morning and has a message to anyone travelling to Rarotonga.
Just enjoy and get around to the different places. Take your tourist dollar and spend it. I think it's going to be really good to be open again.
Tourism makes up 70% of the Cook Islands economy. Fiji residents and military are in the midst of a clean-up after Cyclone Cody struck early in the week. It caused damage to homes, road and other infrastructure. Our correspondent Levemba Vornal told Morning Report authorities are out and about the country surveying the damage, distributing rations and making urgent repairs before another weather system arrives in the country's northwest.
The minister has updated us that a lot of our infrastructure, as well as our basic and critical services, are back online. They do still have about 4,000 people in evacuation centres around the country, which they say is going to reduce over the next couple of days as they help people get back into their homes.
Levemba Vornal says weather systems tend to hit the country's north more severely, and some of the evacuees are climate change refugees. A memorial service has been held in the Solomon Islands for 14 people who went missing at sea on New Year's Day. A boat carrying the group, including 9 children and cargo, left at Gizo for the Shortland Islands in Choi Sil Province but failed to reach its destination. Terence Zeru, who knew some of those missing passengers, said hundreds of people gathered in Gizo St. Peter's Cathedral yesterday to pay their respects.
The whole public is totally affected by the incident, especially with the young children and all that. They were all there. Everybody was there, whether they were related or not, but everyone wanted to show their support for the families. And Gizo being such a small community-based township, you know, everybody knows everyone.
Solomon Islands police have confirmed 2 bodies of a woman and a child have so far been recovered. Tonga's newly elected government held its first session yesterday in the capital Nuku'alofa. All 26 members swore an oath of allegiance to King Tupou VI and the kingdom's constitution, including the incoming Prime Minister, Siaose Sovaleni.
I swear by the Almighty God I will serve His Majesty Tupou'ono, the sovereign of Tonga, and defend the integrity and holiness of the Constitution of Tonga, and act with integrity to progress the work of Parliament. I Siaose Ofakivaha Falau Sovaleni.
Prime Minister Sovaleni is Tonga's 18th Prime Minister and only the 4th commoner to take office. Buckingham Palace has announced that Prince Andrew's military titles and royal patronages have been returned to the Queen. The Duke's roles will be distributed among members of the royal family. It comes as he faces a civil case in the US over claims he sexually assaulted a woman when she was 17 years old, which he has consistently denied. The BBC's Dan Johnson reports.
He'll still be Prince Andrew. He'll still be the Duke of York. He's not going to use the title HRH, His Royal Highness, and he won't now hold these honorary positions, things like being Colonel of the Grenadier Guards, an army regiment. He holds those sorts of positions in different regiments of the British Army, the RAF, the Navy, other sorts of organisations. All of that will end. In effect, he's going to cease being an official working member of the Royal Family.
Vanuatu is running low on new passports because of a record high demand. An average of 30 to 40 applications for passports are lodged every day, and Acting Prime Minister Willie Daniel Kalo says the government has ordered new passports, which are expected to arrive next month. Mr. Kalo says the passports have been ordered on time, but delays has been because of the border being closed because of COVID-19. He says more than 15,500 passports have been issued to applicants under the government's citizenship program and for Vanuatu seasonal workers going to Australia and New Zealand. More than 60% of the new passports issued are for seasonal workers working in Australia and New Zealand, and about a quarter of the new passports are for people who have yet to leave Vanuatu. Vanuatu's Teaching Service Commission has quashed the notice of the national strike by the Vanuatu Teachers Union. The commission employs about 2,000 teachers in Vanuatu, and Dick Hopkins warns all teachers throughout Vanuatu not to take part in any strike, and anyone disobeying the order will be disciplined. Mr. Hopkins is calling for a meeting between the dismissed Vanuatu Teachers Union president, its secretary general, and the union's National Executive Committee to sort out their differences. In sport, the All Blacks Sevens and Black Ferns Sevens team have withdrawn from this month's Malaga and Seville rounds of the World Series due to New Zealand's COVID-19 border restrictions. The teams would not have been able to re-enter Aotearoa after playing. The All Black Sevens hope to be at the Vancouver men's round near the end of next month, but there's no guarantee given the travel rules. New Zealand Rugby is currently investigating domestic tournament options for the teams while the borders remain closed. Premier League club Newcastle United have signed New Zealand striker Chris Wood from relegation rivals Burnley on a 2.5-year deal. Wood has been a key player for Burnley, scoring a record 49 league goals. And Japan's Naomi Osaka, a 4-time Grand Slam tennis champion, has been named as the world's highest paid female athlete. Forbes says Osaka raked in $83.4 million over the past year,